All right, you guys. I'm excited to be here. Number one, just to see a lot of you that have been part of my journey, my story. I know the series is called The Journey. And life really is a journey with a lot of ups and downs. Maybe more downs than we want, and maybe fewer ups than we want sometimes. But it really is a journey that God intended for us to share, isn't it? Because man, it really isn't that fun by yourself, right? And so a lot of you have been on that journey for a lot of years, and I just want to say thank you. You know, just looking at our support list last night and kind of praying through and just thinking, man, these are faithful brothers and sisters, faithful families, and different ways God's had you guys step in at different times. It's really been essential for us to keep going, and for you. I think there's a sense that God blesses both the recipient and the giver. You believe that? There's like a blessing to our own hearts. And of course, that's what Jesus said. It's more blessed actually to give than receive. We're going to be looking at the words of Jesus, the actions of Jesus. I know that's the series. I listened to the last couple messages. I didn't quite make it to Aaron's, but I'm going to be listening to Aaron's because I heard that was pretty awesome. Who liked Aaron's message a few weeks ago on fasting? And I've been kind of been looking at that. Jen and I, my wife, for the last few weeks too, just really wanting to grow in that. So I think we're going to listen to that together. It'd be really awesome. But there's just another example. You know, we all don't have it all figured out, and there's some times when someone like Steve or Aaron or one of you might, do a little study, do a little looking into things, and then share it, and it could be the lights going on for someone else in a life-changing way. And I'm praying for that this morning, not that anything I would have to say, but that God kind of orchestrating this, I believe, for me to be here with Pastor Steve and just saying, hey, maybe God wants to give something through you today. First of all, I just want to give just a brief update on what's been happening, because some of you haven't, maybe been involved with the email updates or other things. Some of you are. And so this will maybe give you just a little snapshot. And I think I just need to arrow out or arrow. There we go. Okay. So we did, we took 15 people to India in November. It was a fantastic time. We had people 15 to 77 on the trip. Okay. So it was pretty extraordinary. And this is Kendra. She's after the trip. Her and her husband had kind of been feeling called to missions full time. But I think really in a big way solidified doing their first mission trip with us. And then asked us to be their mentors afterwards. So that was really cool to see that. And then Kendra now, as part of that journey, is for her to raise support and join our team for this season and just really understand missions and ministry and involved with the hopes that we'll help send them to the field at some point in the not too long future. You can see Mary there in Kendra, and they are doing a small group discussion, which is sort of not something that they do in India very much. It's mainly like the person at the front preaching, and then people come to that person, and they get prayed for and stuff. And that's sort of a typical experience in an Indian church. So we were introducing something new because we feel like there is more gain when you get people in circles actually talking about the word, trying to figure out, sharing their burdens, sharing what's going on related to what's been spoken, pray for each other, and then maybe hopefully get to a deeper level of relationship with God, with each other, right? And so we were kind of introducing that, and the ladies had some questions, and they were going through it with the ladies, and it wasn't easy. Was it easy, Judy? I mean, it's not easy at all, but, a lot of things that are worth doing aren't necessarily easy, and you got to just kind of press on, and then you see, I've heard a lot of fruit from this. They maybe didn't see it in the moment, but then talking to Pastor Benjamin and the other, they're like, that was really something we'd never done. And it really was important because he said, my wife and I didn't know these ladies that well. But now that we've been doing kind of this, letting them talk and discuss and share openly about things, and you guys have kind of modeled that, I feel like we know these people now. and we can actually help disciple them better because of that. Does that make sense? So it's just kind of, you know, helping them get to know each other, trying to introduce some helpful models. Hey, does that look familiar? How many of you ladies put together the verse cards and the purses in their language, which is really awesome? And I'll tell you what, I've heard so many stories, and just like, you know, all my other master trainers, they're like, when do we get our purses for our ladies? You know, I'm like, well, you know, yeah, let's work on that. You know, we got to talk to the Grace Point crew. But this is an illustration of something we're going to talk about today. We're talking about the Word of God being a seed, us being soil. And does the Word of God do anything when it touches us? Do we act upon the Word of God? And this is an illustration of somebody who acted upon, I don't even know whose exact idea it is, which is kind of cool. I just know the ladies at Grace Point, and there were a few people, and they had, you know, just kind of came. But it was acting upon a burden of go and make disciples of all nations, right? And the extension of Grace Point, ladies thought, hey, Word of God in sown into hearts is obviously a key point to this whole thing. How can we transport the Word of God in a way that these ladies can carry with them as they're doing all that they're doing? And they work very hard there. They clean houses. They pick through garbage. They do all kinds of stuff none of us would ever want to do. And they do it because, you know, these are kind of low caste ladies in this society. And so for them, man, having that purse, having a few scriptures to meditate on to keep their hearts satisfied in Jesus and focused on his promises, you know, that's just life, right? That's just life. So this is really cool. Even the young ones reading, going through this, it's pretty awesome. Man, these ladies just treasured those. And I do pray there might be a chance to continue this sort of tradition of giving the Word of God to the women who are in desperate need of encouragement and hope, and someone thinking of them and saying, hey, you're actually really important to God. Even though in your own community you may not be revered or honored like you should, there's a God in heaven that sees you. And he wants to speak to you every day. And you can have a special relationship with him that brings joy to your heart even when things aren't fair, even when things aren't the way they should be. Which is sort of the way it is for all of us in some level, right? We all live in a broken planet, and we have to remember God's promises to give us hope for what's coming. Here's the Foundations course. This is a 4-lesson discipleship course that we have translated into a number of languages. We're in desperate need to make more copies of it because it really has been helpful to the church. They've never done something like this. Discipleship in most Indian churches and Nepalese churches is come to church, to the service. And, you know, let's just see what happens, right? So this is kind of giving them one more level of like, hey, no, let's break down the word. Let's see how it applies to your life in a community, in a circle, in a gathering of people. And so there's been a high demand. They're saying, this is so awesome. Gets them in the word, gets them talking, gets them learning how to spend time with God, learning how to claim his promises for their life, learning how to, we have this, my heart, section 3 is my heart, Christ's home. How does it look to have Christ in all of your life, every part of it? And walking through that and taking a little personal retreat and inventory, you know, do I really belong to Jesus in my whole life? What areas do I need help to grow in? And we go through the 4 C's of discipleship. Convictions from God's word through his spirit leads to commitments in our lives, held together in community to reveal Christ to the world. That's our 4 C's. That's just kind of simple training. We try to make everything simple, transferable. Let's keep them thinking about that. So that's where these circles and going through this together, and then, you know, it's not just 4 weeks. It could end up being more than 4 weeks because they come back together. It's like, you know, we didn't spend any time with God this last week during our week. And okay, you know, let's talk about that. Let's just not just get through this. Let's actually get into what Christ wants to do in our lives. So it's like, okay, what's keeping us from spending time with God? Do we need to change our schedule? Do we need to change our mentality? You know, what could it look like? And then helping each other to have that daily relationship. and then working through it together. So, you know, a lot of the ministry that we have is just responding to God's leading in our lives. So we do village evangelism. We have teams that go out. We have the Jesus Film crews that we've been sponsoring and encouraging and getting equipment for. And then we go into this village, Unreached Village. We're praying over the house of the family that is hosting the gathering of believers. This is their house. But their son's getting married, and so they're painting the room, and they have two painters there. They want us to go pray over the room. It's kind of a common tradition there. Let's pray over our son and new daughter-in-law's place we're going to be living as part of our house. They built a little room onto their little house. These are very small houses, right? The painters are there, and I said, hey, you know, how about these painters? What do you think? They said, it's great that they're here. You know, I said, yeah, it is great that they're here. Why don't we just see if they'll hang out with us while we dedicate this room, and then we'll ask them how we can pray for them. And we all agreed that was a great plan. And then we did that, and we asked them. We started talking. I had Keston, who's 16, share his testimony. His dad was burnt in a gasoline explosion and lost all use of his limbs and his eyes. And he's, you know, but he has a real testimony. He's a, kind of an evangelist. And so Keston, I've been kind of investing because his dad can't do a lot with him. And we've been climbing mountains, doing other things over the last few years. And then he went to India with us, which is really cool. And then he's sharing his story of his own family going through this whole thing. And so he shares that and how God's been there and how God's been real to him. And then we gave gospel. Both these painters received Christ. Okay? And it was really awesome. And then they're right there in the kind of the church home in the village. And so they're like setting up, okay, you know, hey, let's talk, let's get together. You know, it's just like, yeah, match made in heaven, it looks like to me. So these are the kind of things God, now this is what the men are doing during the day while the women are slaving, okay? This is kind of common. There's all kinds of circles of these. Walked around this village, we see tons of men just out there playing cards during the day while the women are trying to make everything work, and there's a lot of alcohol abuse. This is why we do Celebrate Recovery. This is just a common scene because they've lost their heart. They've lost their purpose, and they've gotten depressed, and then they're just kind of drinking and having the right as a man in that pagan society of like, yeah, I got to do what I want, you know, don't mess with me, kind of an attitude sometimes. Not all of them. This is, you know, kind of stereotypic, but this is a lot of what you see. And then at the evening when the shops or little huts are open for the wine shops, they're just huge lines, huge queues, you know, trying to get their little shot and trying to deal with life. So there's a huge need there, and that's sort of what we realized. We went to the churches. What do we see? A church like this? Mainly women. Just a few men. And we're just like, uh-oh. You know, that's probably not God's plan. You know, what are we going to do? And then we see this, and we see the drinking, and we're like, okay, wait a second. There's a pattern here, and it's kind of discouraging in some ways. But then you can either get defeated or get determined, right? Isn't that true in life? And when God's word is your direction, your compass, you start getting determined because you say, wait a second, God's let me understand this. He's let me see this. And somehow that means that I'm supposed to be part of it, at least through prayer. And I say at least. It's kind of a weak thing to say about prayer, right? Definitely through prayer. But then as I'm praying, other things start to come. And that's sort of how we end up doing the ministries that we do in India. It's just kind of, you know, sort of being defeated. We were defeated a few times. Feeling like, man, the church is so dysfunctional. There's just so much going on here that seems overwhelming. Can God break through? Is there hope for transformation? And you get to the bottom, and finally, you start asking that question. Do I believe what God has said in his word? Right? If God is for us, yeah, you know it, right? You know, if you abide in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. We got to kind of call ourselves back. Do we believe the word of God? What kind of soil am I? We're going to take a quick look because I'm just seeing we've got like 5 minutes here, you know, so we got to. But hey, can God change a life in 5 minutes? I mean, he made the world in the word of his mouth. That's pretty powerful. Isn't it? When God speaks, stuff comes from nothing. That's the kingdom of heaven. That's part of this chapter. I just challenge you to read Matthew 13. That's the text, a couple of verses from that. But in there, he talks about the kingdom of heaven being unbelievable. A little bit of leaven in this huge pound of dough. What happens? It fills the whole thing, right? Jesus gives, you know, a little mustard seed. the smallest of garden seeds, and it becomes what? A tree that the birds build their nest on. He's trying to give us a vision, like, hey, hold on. Hello, my people. I can do way more than what you're thinking and what you're imagining, what you've been defeated by. A lot of us, the longer we live, sometimes the more layers of disappointment, frustration, and failure get piled on top of the Word of God to where it no longer has a punch. And actually, Matthew 13, Jesus actually looks at that because he goes to his home village and the people are like so familiar with him and his family and everything. You're like, ah, yeah. And it says because they lacked faith, he couldn't do many miracles there. What? How sad, right? Don't you want to just like shake those people? It's like, come on, you know? Did you see what he did? Like all those other places? Like he could do amazing things. You guys are totally stupid to be so stubborn in your doubt. Oh, wait a second. Let's put the mirror back here. Oh, yeah, I am kind of stubborn and foolish. Oh, man, I am missing out, it looks like. And that's what the Word of God is meant to do, be like a mirror where we look at it, right? And James talks about this. You know, you look at the mirror, and then you walk away, and you immediately forget what you see. Don't be just hearers, but doers of the Word. What kind of soil? Jesus is sort of outrageous with his statements. He's saying, hey, a little bit of faith, and I can move mountains. Literally. Do you believe it? And so that's really kind of the heart of this is, what is God doing? Here's some crazy guys. There's crazy stories always. I wish I could tell you, but I can't. But these guys, you know, it was another church in Mississippi. They were talking to Elizabeth saying, how can we help you? And she's like, well, I do children's ministry. And they were like, hey, can we make some puppets for you? And they made a bunch of puppets. And then she goes out and does these puppet shows. And we did that with our flip-flop clinic. And a bunch of kids got saved. And it was awesome because they were so entertained. But then they're hearing the story and they're hearing the gospel. And they're just, they're feeling God's love. And they come to Christ. Here's our team. Man, so many cool stories of transformations. Asia's strongest man is on our team. It's kind of cool. And then he's got another karate chop guy. That's really cool too. Lays on nails and stuff. And man, these guys are awesome. And then they're helping us bring the gospel to the youth in particular. Hey, look at that. It's pretty cool. Today, we're going to wash some feet. We're going to give you a little experience at the luncheon. We'd love for you to all come. Actually, my kids are going to get their feet washed. They're kind of excited. They've usually been the ones washing feet. Now they get their feet washed here in America. You know, it's pretty cool. All right. So, but look at this. They are, and they're going to show you what we do. Mary's going to walk you through it. Here's how we train our team. Here's how they enter in, praying for each kid and their dreams, praying over them for their salvation, blessing them. And it's just an amazing experience to be part of that. Here's our Celebrate Recovery crew in Hyderabad. So these guys are all leading Celebrate Recovery step studies, and they're seeing a lot of transformations. This is Scott from Modesto. He's kind of the national coordinator, partner with me. And we just had a great time encouraging them and just helping them take that, you know, lead their groups and really recover from life's hurts, hangups, and bad habits. And a lot of, you know, eventually get to the slums and get, these are all pastors. They're finding recovery so they can lead their church into recovery. And then as the church is in recovery, hey, pretty easy to go, hey, this is how God's helping me. I think he can help you. But if God's not helping me, I'm going to be like, good luck. You know, I'm going to say a little prayer for you, but I don't really believe anything can change. That's sort of what happens when we're stuck. So we have to ask God to help us recover, and then we can help others. And that's what's happening in India. These guys are in recovery, and they're just automatically like starting these groups in their church, and they're helping those people. And it's just going to trickle down into the people that are so desperate without Christ. This is our youth festival. We'll be doing that in October as well. And again, we're there facilitating, coaching, encouraging, training, and then Indians are bringing the message because there's some kind of opposition going on in India towards foreigners doing the work. So our goal is just to empower them and facilitate, and they're doing a great job and lots of people getting saved. And then they got the foundation course, the disciple, they got recovery to help them through their real problems, and we can see transformation start to happen. Isn't that awesome? But this is a long-term effort. This is not just a, you know, go in, shoot them down, head out, which is why we want to go and spend time every year in India. And this is the women's conferences, women's groups. And this is what's happening right here in Bethany and in Hillsborough and Beaverton. We're having our own outreach to Indians. We've had Rupali in the pink hoodie over here. She came to Christ last month. It was pretty awesome. Okay. Hindu, she trusted in Jesus. She found the light of life and hope. And then we've got Gideon and Harika. Harika's in the blue polka dotted shirt. She's not there yet, but she's thinking about it. She's sharing openly, and she's been coming faithfully. So we're believing, and then we got a few other families that are coming and going, and it's really awesome. So this is Carson, my nephew. He gave his guitar away to this young man, one of the pastor's kids there, who's really doing worship. And so he's having his own listening to God, doing something, and then seeing the impact in his own life. So that's pretty cool. hey, there's our guy, Kimmy, we do the coffee shop with. So there's a lot there. We'll share more at the luncheon. As we wrap things up, look in your outline. Would you guys look at that real quick? I wanted to just take a moment and ask the question, are you good soil? And the passage that we are talking about is in Matthew 13, 19 through 23. And in this passage, he is saying that some seed fell upon the roadside, the rocks, and they hear the message, but immediately the birds come and pick it up, and it doesn't. The evil one comes and snatches it up. They don't understand it, okay, on the footpath, and so it doesn't get planted in their hearts. So there's spiritual warfare. Have you noticed that? God speaking to you, and then all of a sudden, boom, you know, it's like some weird thing. You think about it, and then you don't, you know, your heart gets a little hard, and you don't want to let it in. This is not just talking about non-believers. This is talking about all of us. Jesus is really talking to all of us here. What is the seed? It's the Word of God. Okay, this morning, the Word of God's coming. What is that seed? What is God saying to you? Some of you right now, God's Word is kind of pulsing in your hearts and minds, saying, hey, you got to do this. Hey, you should do this. And is it something that you pursue and say, okay, what do you mean, God? I like to journal. That helps me. I'll see, so I'll feel that, and I'll just say, okay, I'm just going to spend some time and try to meditate and say, God, what are you trying to say to me? This verse keeps coming. I feel convicted about something. Would you show me? Some of you, you need to get understanding and not just push it off, okay? And then it says the evil one comes, so that's there, spiritual warfare. Recognize spiritual warfare and resist the devil. You can even verbally, out loud, resist him and say, Satan, I'm not going to listen to you. I am going to listen to this pulse from God. And then we've got the seed of the rocky soil represents those who hear the message receive it with joy immediately, but since they have no roots, they don't last long. They fall away as soon as problems or persecution for believing God's word come in. So, you know, you start going along and then you encounter troubles. We've had a number of people go to India with us on a short-term trip. And I'll tell you what, they sign up, they start coming to the trainings, then stuff happens. And they're like, I don't know if I should go. I don't know if I can do it. You know, it's like, okay, you know, hey, what do you know? Just like it says, problems, persecution, their own family resisting them going, or their boss or someone else. And what do? Hey, we pray through it. We huddle together, right? Convictions. Is you feel like God wants you to do this? It's an expression of you obeying the Great Commission. You feel led to do this. Okay, then let's hold together. Let's just hold on to that, make that commitment. And then, you know, and sometimes it means delaying the trip. Sometimes it means something else. But we want to obey. That's the main goal, right? And if we hold together, we can do that. So sharing those things with someone else and then working through the problems together. The seed that fell among the thorns represents those who hear the word of God. But quickly the message is crowded out by the worries of life and the lure of wealth. So no fruit is produced. And I would say that's probably what I see in my life the most. Is just worries and busyness. I never get around to it. Like God's telling me, and I don't get around to it. How many times has God told you to call someone, to talk to someone, to pray for someone, even to pray with your spouse or to pray for your friend at school? And it's like, you put it off, and it's like, get busy, and then you never do it. And you miss out, right? It's never too late. You're still sitting here. Your heart's still beating. But maybe that's something to recognize and say, you know what? I'm not going to let that happen, gosh darn it. I am going to say yes. I'm going to pay attention. I'm going to be that good soil. That's the last one. They hear the word. They understand it. And they produce a harvest 30, 60, 100 times as much as been planted. There's that kingdom principle. It's way more than you expect. You think it's one little thing you're doing that God's telling you, and it doesn't matter. And God's saying, oh, no, it does. Because if you obey what I'm saying, this little thing, boom, huge things can happen. You know, Hudson Taylor, we heard in Steve's message, you know, he got saved. You know how he got saved? His sister, who was 13 years old, said, saw that he had announced that he's an atheist. He wasn't going to be a Christian. And she told him and the parents, I'm going to pray every day for you, Hudson Taylor, until you give your heart to Jesus. And I'm telling mom and dad. And she did. And then the mom and dad, they were so heartbroken over his decision. I think he was about 17 years old. That they went on a retreat. They told him, we're going on a retreat. We'll see you guys. But the secret conniving plan, inspired by the word of God, don't be anxious for anything but what? With prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request. That's the verse. That's the seed. And the mom says, we got to go pray. So on that Saturday, they prayed all day long, the husband and wife, on a retreat. And it was during that day, Hudson Taylor didn't have anything to do, sitting in the house. He picks up these gospel tracts that somebody else had been led to give, okay? And in them, there's these cool stories, but then there's the gospel at the end. He said, I'll just read the cool stories because they're always interesting, and I'll skip the last part. That's all the Bible stuff, right? Because he didn't have any good books to read. He'd already read all the books they had at their house. And so he gets a stack of tracts and goes out in the backyard, and he's going to read, and he thinks it's going to be great. He starts reading the first story. The mom and dad are praying. The sister's been praying. He's in trouble. Hey, wouldn't it be great if people were in trouble? Because you and God are on this team together after them? I mean, do you believe? The Bible says, I believe, therefore I spoke, therefore I did, right? Does the word of God have power in your life? Because that's how it works. God promises, I will speak to you. I will guide you. Trust me with all your heart. Look to me with all your heart. Don't look to your own understanding. Seek my will in everything you do, every part of your life. And what? I will make a straight path. I will show you the path to glory. I will show you that I'm actually a living, awesome, working God. And I actually have plans for you, no matter how old you are or young you are. I can do amazing things. I could tell you guys, Steve, any of us, we could tell you hundreds of stories. And you could probably tell me hundreds of stories. I mean, you really think about it, and you probably should. Maybe you need to get out a journal and start writing all the times you listened to God and what he did. And for your own self, have your own record that you can go back to and share with your children and others. And, whoa, hold on, could start a revolution. Isn't that what Jesus did? Through some fishermen? Through the unlikely? Through the impossible. Hudson Taylor reads the track. Holy Spirit comes upon him. He gets saved. And because some missionaries and others had come to his house and come to his church and shared about China, a seed had been planted. And when he heard, go, make disciples, as he was starting to read the Bible for himself, as soon as he read the Great Commission, immediately guess what came to his mind? China. But not the China that the missionaries had gone to, the China that nobody had gone to. Because he also read Romans where it says, my ambition has always been to preach the gospel where there are no churches, where no one has heard, not to build on anyone else's foundation. So Hudson Taylor was like, I don't care if I die. I'd rather die for Jesus. He did sort of die for me. I'd rather die for him. Is there anything more glorious than to give your life for Jesus? When you get to heaven, won't that be the glorious thing? To realize, hey, I did give it all to you. I gave my whole to you. And it's never too late. Let's just close with prayer because we want to honor the time. And this is a good statement from C.S. Lewis, just to kind of help us as we close. You can't go back and change the beginning, but you can start where you are and change the ending. Can't you? That's all we got. We got to be forward thinking. We got to be saying, okay, I got today. That's what I got. What am I going to do to be good soil? What is God speaking to me about that I'm actually going to quit putting off? And I'm going to start saying, okay. Okay, yes, God. But it's not okay, I'm going to do it, God. It's an okay, God, you got to do it. Because that's what he says. He says, you give the will, and then he makes it happen. It is God who has it work in you both to will and to do his good pleasure. He gives both the desire. So maybe you feel God saying something and you don't have the desire right now. You're just like, yeah, but God, I don't really want to do that. Okay, just lay that before him right now and say, God, you know I don't really want to do this. I didn't really want to move to India because it was hard work and a lot, and you know, moving your whole family over there. But I knew it was God wanted. I knew there was an eternal impact that he was planning. And so we just said, okay, give us the heart. Give us, we're going to say yes, and then we're just going to trust you to give us both the will and the power to do what you've asked us to do. And then we'll just trust you because we can't, we already know ourselves. We're pretty weak, pretty weak sauce. And we really need your power. And so let's just pray right now. And that's my challenge to you guys is you can't go back, but you can start today. And you can finish. And you can change the ending. Start a new pattern. Maybe your first part of the prayer is, dear God, I know I've been putting you off. I haven't really been wanting to hear your word, wanting to hear these things I know you're saying. I've been worried. I've been pursuing the lure of materialism or just pressing people, basically, just kind of trying to status quo. But today I realized, Jesus, that I really just want to be yours and be an instrument for you right here, right now. And Lord, you said the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field. And when the person finds it, they sell everything they have to gain that field, to gain that treasure. And God, I pray you would become a treasure in my life and walking with you, obeying you, doing your will would become what I'm willing to give up everything else for, Lord. Because it's eternal. God, please, give me the will and the power to do your will. Make me good soil. Bear fruit in my life. Because you said that's your plan. That's your design. Help me to trust your hidden work. Even when it doesn't look like saying yes to you is going to accomplish much. I'm just going to simply obey and believe you can do mighty things. God, if I abide in you and you in me, I'll bear much fruit. Much fruit. That's your plan. Today, Lord, I ask you to make my heart and life good soil. That I would hear your word. And I would go after it. In Jesus' name.